Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's a Tuesday on the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, and we plan to stay there. Hopefully no internet outages today at the Team 980. Or literally at the Team 980. We're streaming at the Team 980, but also like at the Team 980 in this building. I would like no internet outages today. That'd be cool. That'd be cool. Anthony, a couple of news items to start the show. On the keep an eye on it department, local in-house for the Commanders. Oh, wait, hold on. Sorry. Let's apparently Russell said that we do a more mature radio show. I don't know what part of the show he listens to.
Yeah, I don't know either.
There's a lot of ways I would differentiate our show and his show. I don't know that maturity is one of them. Anyway.
Breaking news.
Oh, snap, news is broken. Breaking news.
Obviously. The Commanders have signed a corner to the practice squad. So this is the keep an eye on it department. Kevon Seymour is a former sixth round pick by the Bills back in 2016. I'm just reading this data from the Commanders website. This is not me being smart and having a file on him. This is just the reality of the information that is in front of me. I currently am Ron Burgundy. Seymour, a sixth-round pick by the Bills out of USC in 2016, has appeared in 64 games with 7 starts. He last played for the Ravens, where he recorded 31 tackles, a sack, and a pass breakup. I don't know when that was. For his career, which also includes stints with the Panthers and Eagles, Seymour has 83 stops, 8 pass breakups, a forced fumble, and 2 fumble recoveries. He had 126 tackles in 4 seasons with the Trojans to go with 3 interceptions and 24 starts. So that's who the Commanders have signed to their practice squad. Of course, who knows if he will be active on Sunday. Is this kind of a tryout situation? You can kind of get away with signing guys to the practice squad right now because that is that's how the roster rules work. He's 30 years old, born in Pasadena, California. Last played, okay, he did at least the 8 games that he played last year, last place he was in Baltimore, and he was actually there for 3 seasons, played in 8 games. Again, forced a fumble, had a couple of tackles, so there's that. The other piece of breaking news.
Breaking news.
Oh, snap, news is broken, breaking news.
Non-local department. The Miami Dolphins, per Tua Tagovailoa, Mike Garafolo and Ian Rappaport, are placing Tua Tagovailoa on IR in order to give him ample time to progress through the stages of the concussion protocol and meet with outside neurologists. The Dolphins' next 4 games will all have, presumably, Skylar Thompson set to take over at quarterback. They're at Seattle versus the Titans, at the Patriots. They have a bye, and then they're at the Colts. I did see an interesting thought. I'm trying to remember who had it. It was one of the like NFL writer types. So I apologize to that person because this is not my original thought, but I did think it was a good one. And now I'm going to share it and I can't give credit to whoever credit is due. But Anthony, somebody said that the Dolphins should trade for Bryce Young.
Mm.
What's the downside? Whatever draft capital you pick up?
Do they have the capital for it?
That's a good question. Dolphins 2020, what are we at? 2025 draft picks? Oh my God. What year in the future are we? The Dolphins have their own first, second, and fifth round. Oh, this is, that was 2024. 2025. Here we go. They have their own first, second, third, fourth, fifth. They have from the Dolphins their own fifth. They don't have a sixth. They have the Bears seventh and their own seventh.
Could they take on the salary as well, though?
That's a good question, actually, because it is a fully guaranteed contract. Anthony, you're asking the non-fun questions.
I'm just saying, I mean, if we're going to say, can they, you know, should they trade for him, is it a likely thing to do? Like, they've invested so much money, like, in the offensive line, the receivers they just paid, Jalen Ramsey's contract. He's also set the, no, he just got paid again, right?
Well, he did just get paid.
Yeah, so he just got paid. So I'm just saying. But I would definitely love for Bryce Young to get out of Carolina. He needs new scenery. He needs a coach like a Mike McDaniel to, you know.
He sure does. And and if you want the tweet that I saw was basically that's the only offense that he could operate. That with what Bryce Young has been turned into, like the height, the gun shyness, like just get him something that is, get the ball out of your hands quickly to guys that are open and like college open, because Tyreek is that good and Jalen Waddle is that fast. He would have played with, or no, sorry. Did he play with Waddle when Waddle was a freshman? I don't think so. I think Bryce. Waddle was already out of Alabama.
Yeah, he was gone. He was gone.
He played with Tua. But yeah, I mean, I think that the quick strike offense, the quick decision making, the ability to get the ball out of someone's hands, like reliance on the running game, you can do some play action stuff. Like that is a much better, like I think Tua is better than Bryce Young, obviously by a lot, but they are similar style. Like the appeal of Tua and the appeal of Bryce Young was theoretically the same. Quick decision makers, quick releases, get the ball out of their hands, super accurate, not the biggest downfield, not the greatest athletes, but enough athleticism to move around a little bit. But it really is the superpower, the thing that made them top five picks respectively, is the quick decision making, getting the ball out of their hands. Bryce Young's decision making is broken. So why would you not, if you can, like get him in there, give him a couple of weeks to see what's up, see if you can, you know, fix him. And that becomes an insurance policy in case Tua Tagovailoa decides he never wants to play football again. And then at the very least, you have a former number one pick in your building and you figure out the math. You might have to figure out the math in terms of the contracts. I'd have to take a deeper look at that. And I'm trying to do that and host a radio show is more math and speaking at once than my brain can do. But I love that idea. Sometimes these things feel convenient and right because it's just like, oh, well, they need a place to go or Bryce needs a place to go. They need a quarterback in Miami. Let's just put them together. But it's like, no, from a football sense, that actually makes a ton of sense. It's a smart thing for Miami to get an insurance policy in case Tua can't play anymore or decides he doesn't want to play anymore. And for Bryce, it would be a lifeline out of hell. And hell in the NFL is currently, unfortunately, Charlotte, North Carolina. All right, that's the breaking news. Commanders sign a corner of their practice squad, Tua to IR. We will obviously, Tuesday is a big transaction day, so if anything else significant happens, whether it's IRs, whether it's people signing, whatever, we'll keep you in the loop as the show goes. But we know around these parts, Tuesdays are vibe check Tuesdays. So what's your vibe for the Commanders after 2 weeks? They're 1-1. I think you could be optimistic. You could be pessimistic. I think there's been a little bit of something for everyone. So what are you? 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. It's a Vibe Check Tuesday. We're taking your calls for the rest of the hour here on The Hoffman Show.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
301-230-0980 is our phone number. If you'd like to give us a call and get in on this Vibe Check Tuesday, how you feeling about the Commanders after their 1-1 start? That is the question. 301-230-0980 is where you answer it. You can also leave a comment in the live chat on YouTube at the Team 980. Let's get things started with Jackie, who I think also has something they want to add on the Bryce Young situation in Carolina. Jackie, real quick, let's hit your Bryce Young comment, and then we can go full bore into Vibe Check Tuesday on the Commanders front.
Hey, Craig. So my thing with Bryce Young, I feel like it's almost like the Justin Fields situation. They're not surrounding this young quarterback with anyone that can help him grow. I mean, they got rid of his best receiver. So now who is he throwing the ball to? And instead of them trying to get better pieces around him, they aren't. His offensive line is suspect. And then he's throwing to a Thielen. How old is Adam Thielen? Come on. We got to give this kid another chance somewhere else with a different coach, because I cannot, I won't accept the fact that he's not good enough to be an NFL quarterback. That's my take on that.
Yeah, Jackie, I agree with you. I liked him too much coming out. Maybe I'm being stubborn about it, but I also have seen too many quarterbacks get ruined. And, you know, if you play out his career 10 times, this is certainly, you can't get worse than this one. And you'd love to see what would have happened if he had the support from go, or if he had just been benched from go, like a realization by the organization to say, yeah, he's worth taking number one, but if we play him right now, we're going to ruin him. And they didn't have that humility. That's because that organization's a mess. And I think now that there's better ownership here in Washington, people realize just how much, not beyond like the owner came into the draft room and made a draft pick, how much bad ownership affects a team. And they've got it in Carolina, and it's affecting a lot of stuff. So wishing certainly the best for Bryce Young. I think Miami would be an incredible landing spot for him. Let Mike McDaniel get him, you know, Humpty Dumpty it back in one piece, and hopefully they can put him back together again. But, Jackie, let's get going on the Vibe Check Tuesday on the Commanders front. What you got on Washington after this 1-1 start?
So I'll say this. they did play a lot better the second week. I think the defense stepped up. I think when they actually really, really needed to, they still gave up too much. But being at the game and seeing a lot of things that you don't see on TV, I mean, I know Jaden Daniels is only going to get better as he continues to play, but he also left a lot of on the field. He missed a lot of wide-open receivers, and I don't know if it's because he's not trusting his offensive line or if he just feels like he has to make a play because he wants us to win, and I understand that. But I think if the kid just – he got to relax a little bit, you know. I mean, I think once, like Doc and him said, the game slows down for him, I think he's going to be tremendous. And I finally think we got our franchise quarterback. Thanks for taking my call. See y'all later. Thanks, man, for taking me.
You got it, Jackie. Thank you. I think that's great. A great job. Jackie's got a good eye. Be able to notice all that stuff from the game. I do think it's definitely a situation where once the game slows down, you'd think that he's going to get some of this stuff better because his eyes will be in the right place. I think what's happening to Jaden Daniels in the dropback game right now is his eyes are going real fast. And if something's not there immediately, he doesn't understand kind of the timing that you need to have the patience to sit on it just long enough. Okay, now it's not there. Now I get to my next one. My next one will still be there. I can wait. For a lot of quarterbacks, it's the other way. They wait way too long on their first guy, and I'd rather slow a guy down than have to speed him up. And so that will be something. And also, as he feels the footwork of this offense, I think it's something that those two things work together. But it's also why I think Cliff Kingsbury is getting a little bit too much flack for, oh, take the screens out, take the screens out. No, that is keeping Jaden Daniels safe right now. That is keeping him in a rhythm. There is a balance, though, and I do think what happened in this game was Jaden probably had a few too many screens and RPOs and predetermined throws versus being able to get back and get into a rhythm. And as the game went on, and even after he took that hit, there was a little bit more of the drop back game, and I feel like after that point, Cliff got that balance right. Obviously, there's a lot of still to be desired. Get the big plays down the field. Get the red zone stuff figured out. But I think that Jaden has shown a really high floor, which is what we expected. And then the ceiling's only going to continue to grow as the game slows down and he gets better. 301-230-0980. Billy in Miami was at the game. Billy, how was your first game back at Northwest Stadium in a while?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, this was meant for yesterday. But, yes, I was at opening day victory day. That's what I call it. Opening day victory day, Craig. And I had field passes. And by the way, nice. I sent you the picture on the fantasy. My overall experience was amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And so I have to tell you why I don't care that I'm getting my butt kicked by the Craig Hoffman Fantasy League and why I don't care that Anthony's team kicked my butt last night. I have five good reasons. They all have to do with the Commanders. Number one, being at the season opener, we won against the Giants, and this is super special because I've been going for 27 years straight. My dad and I, who are Washington fans, with my uncle and cousin, who are New York fans, and my dad and uncle died 2 years ago, but we have kept the tradition going. And so the second reason is because we are headed in the right direction. As a new Gold Club member, I was amazed at my experience, made possible by the new ownership. You know, they're like, oh, did you see what we did? Did you see this? I didn't have to see it. I don't know what they did. All I know was it was like night and day, the difference between last year and this year. I mean, you know, we won right when I got there. That's all I can tell you. Despite the fact that we beat the Giants, we won when I was at the game. It was so special, and you just felt special. You just felt the energy. Third reason, having field passes, and you know I was in Paris for the Olympics. I mean, it was almost up there with the Olympics for me, Craig. I hung out with Jamison Crowder. I hung out with Big Foe, Tiafo from the U.S. Open. I mean, I was right there with Ryan Robinson. And by the way, you knew he was going to have a great day. I have videos of him right before the game where he was running up to the crowd and pumping his chest. I mean, it was so exciting. Number four, while being on the field, I saw Siebert. I didn't know who he was at the time, but we counted six straight field goals pregame that he made straight. And just like hitting a perfect golf shot on that 6-1, he just walked off the field. And finally, this is the fifth reason. This is more about fantasy. I'm getting destroyed in fantasy. I feel like fantasy is like Valentine's Day. It's there for the consumers. Takes you away from your true love, which is the Commanders. I love the Commanders. I love what they've done. So there you go, Craig. That's my vibe.
It sounds like a pretty good vibe. Thanks, Billy, for the call. And so sorry about what's happening to your... Oh, no, I'm not sorry that... Anthony, you did that personally to Billy this week? You kicked his butt pretty good in the Hoffman Show Fantasy League?
Sadly, I did. Well, not sadly.
Yeah, sadly for
everybody
him.
Everybody I play,
look,
I'm whooping you.
Look, hey, he's happy. You're happy. Everybody's happy. We love to see it. By the way, you don't know who the top two scorers in the Fantasy League are?
Not Craig Hoffman.
That is incorrect. I'm second behind Tony.
Ah.
I think you're like third.
Really?
So the pros, if you will, are doing well.
Okay.
Yeah, you're doing pretty well. Are you 2-0? You're 2-0, right?
I am indeed, sir.
Yeah, so am
I. Are you?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You ready to face me?
Pretty comfortable. Is that this week?
Nah, I don't think so.
No, that's probably good for you because when we go head-to-head, bad things happen for you. It's a Vibe Check Tuesday here on the Hoffman Show. Sometimes you just walk right into it. You don't even know it's coming. You should, but you don't. It's a Vibe Check Tuesday on the Hoffman Show. How you feeling about this Commanders start to the season? They are 1-1. Let's go to JT. JT, how you feeling about the Commanders after the win on Sunday?
Craig, number one, thanks for taking the call. But the vibe, man, it's mixed.
Okay.
And I'm going to start off on a high point. The high point for me is I finally feel like we might have found our quarterback. Like the previous caller said, I think like two calls ago, yes, he's missing some things, but he's a rookie. And everything that we've learned about, you know, Jaden Daniels so far is he puts in the work, he's going to put in the time, and when that happens, that game is going to slow down. And so if we look at all the things that he's already doing right now, and the game is still real fast, to me, you can only just get hyped. Now, what's kind of settling me down is the middle of our defense, specifically Payne and Allen. And I know you can correct me on this, because you got the All-22, but it just feels like they're not even present. I think I saw Payne get up in there and like one of the plays he forced somebody else to get a sack. But, you know, other than that, you know, you don't even realize that they're even out there. And you know, I thought they would be, you know, I knew we had some trouble on the outside, you know, with the edges and the corners, but I didn't think in the middle, you know, would be question marks. I thought they would really help Louisville and Wagner out. And I've been kind of disappointed. I was looking for a dominating year from both of them. And it's not to say that they can't get that. Obviously, we have a ton of games left. But just so far, they've kind of, you know, brought my vibe down. But I know ultimately the goal is to make sure that these guys got it right at the quarterback position. And through two games, it looks like we have. Thanks.
Yeah, JT, great call. I think you bring up some really interesting points, and I tend to agree with all of them. We did the All-22 show this morning for Take Command, and Logan and I talked about it for quite a while on the defensive front, and I still don't know how to feel about it because there is an explanation in that this is a new defense. They are clearly learning it. Some of the bigger plays are happening in ways that are explainable where it's like, oh, I get what they were trying to do there. But they need to realize what's happening to them and play better. So basically, like, if you're going to be really aggressive coming up the field and you feel an offensive lineman pushing you the direction you're trying to go, you need to have alarm bells that maybe I don't need to be going this direction. Like, you need to have a feel for the game. But if you're playing new techniques and there's only so many reps you've had, maybe an offense has done a good job of scouting you. Like, those are tough things that have to happen. But they got to get better week over week until they're not really happening with any regularity anymore. But I think that's happened both weeks where teams have taken the aggressiveness of Allen and Payne and used it against them in ways that have created big plays and bad, you know, situations for the second, and especially a guy like Jeremy Chinn at the third level of the defense, who all of a sudden is having to fill like a huge gap because that gap should have been pinched down because, say, John Allen should have realized like, oh, this guard seems to want me to go this direction. I need to stop and push back against him and see if I can, you know, bump into the running back or at the very least close down his space. And so I think that the middle of the defense has been really frustrating. I think that at the end of the day, you know, that's something that will get better because those two are really talented. But they are definitely being paid like they are guys that should be having sacks and pressures and tackles, frankly, at a rate that's higher than what they're doing right now. So it is still a work in progress. It is still something where I go, these are signs of players that haven't played together and played in a new system and are playing in a new system. And we're going to continue to hopefully watch them grow and get better rapidly. And by the way, for as many challenges on the back end as Cincinnati is going to present to you next week with Burrow and Chase, and we'll see about T. Higgins, they haven't run the ball very well this year. And so maybe it's a chance to get a bit of a get right game on that part of the defense, even if there's a lot of reasons to be scared about the other parts. And I would say those things also work together, by the way. The Commanders have had to play some more conservative coverage structures, which means fewer bodies in the box, and that has certainly hurt them as well in terms of the run defense. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, more of your calls. It's a Vibe Check Tuesday. We got a couple of lines open, a couple of folks there. We pick up right away with the calls next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. You can leave us a comment there on a Vibe Check Tuesday where we check how you're feeling about the Commanders through a couple of weeks here. 1-1 is the record. How you feeling about it? 301-230-0980. Let's go to Gary in Upper Marlboro. Gary, how are you feeling about this 1-1 start and about the game on Sunday?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Pessimistic, okay? The fact of the matter is they got an emotional tear-down-the-goalpost type win against a bottom feeder in the NFL, and they needed help to do that, okay? I can't remember the last time this franchise has had a win against a fully healthy team where they clearly look like the best team. Okay, I just can't. It's always these wins that they need to, you know, scrape out at the end where they could have easily lost the game. And this goes, you know, beyond Ron and the last regime. This is that win yesterday or day before yesterday. It looks like those wins they've had over the years. And at the end of the day, they do no good for the franchise. Okay, you have these emotional wins that, you know, you have a little four-game stretch.
Gary, I'm going to pause you for a second. You don't watch a lot of other NFL games, do you?
No, you're absolutely wrong. I watch all the NFL games.
Okay, but you've never been
I know what every team is doing.
Okay, that's great. You're clearly not emotionally invested in any other game because every win in the NFL is emotional, no matter who you beat. This is what games in the NFL feel like.
No, that's not true. The Cowboys got beat 44-19.
Yeah, and they were devastated about it. And the Saints were elated because that's how the NFL works. Football, you put so much into it.
I'm talking about emotional wins with teams you shouldn't have emotional wins with. I'm talking about beating a team and being the dominant team. Okay?
That's not emotional. That has nothing to do with emotion. Like, you need to pick a different word then. And by the way, did you think this team was good? As in the Commanders?
No. No, what I'm saying, the question is whether or not I'm optimistic or pessimistic. I'm pessimistic, and I'm giving you the reasons why. The Giants were a team that they should have beaten going away.
Based off what?
Okay. Well, if there was any game that they were going to do that should have been it. The Giants looked awful the last week. They were getting hammered in the press. They were talking about firing the coach, benching the quarterback. This was a prime opportunity.
And Gary, if they don't go 0-7 in the red zone, they easily could have won by 15 points. Like that, they said 8 drives in the game. One was a kneel down before halftime. They scored on the other 7. Do they need to fix the red zone stuff? Yeah, but like you can spin it every which way you want to. I'm not going to tell you how to feel. I am going to evaluate your reasons because otherwise it'd be pretty boring radio. And I think your reasons, frankly, don't make any sense at all.
They don't make sense that the Giants, who were picked to be either the last team in the NFL or second to the last team in the NFL, that it took you a last-second field goal when their field goal kicker was hurt on a fluke play. And you're saying that's a reason to be optimistic.
I think that I'm not evaluating wins and losses this season, and I don't get why you are.
What you're asking us, I mean, what are you talking about, Craig? You're asking us whether or not we should be optimistic or pessimistic. And I'm giving you the reasons why.
But here's my question. What are you pessimistic about? Their chances to make the playoffs this season?
No, what are you asking us the question for? You came up with it.
I'm asking you how you feel.
And I said I'm pessimistic.
Right, and I'm asking you now for more clarity on what you are pessimistic about. Is it this season? Is it about the long-term project that they're embarking on as a franchise?
It's the whole season, because this looks like more of the same. The defense is awful. Like the prior caller said, we got two guys sitting in the middle that are getting paid like they're the best defensive linemen in football, and you don't hear their names. This is not just this season, and we're giving all these excuses for these guys. Last year, they're just not being coached properly, okay? They're going to get a new coach in here. And now it's, they don't know the defense, okay? No, these guys are not playing properly. The conversation that we had on one of these shows about moving Allen at the trade deadline, I think that is spot on.
Because yeah, of course it's in play if they don't play better. Like, of course it would be in play. Like, I didn't shut that down. I just said, like, hey, if they're bad and he's playing well enough to have a market, then that becomes a different conversation, and that's a fine needle to thread. But I guess my point would be, Gary, that if you had high expectations of this season, that was probably a mistake that anybody who's been paying attention could have told you about ahead of time.
No.
And if you're pessimistic about the long term, okay, then what are you pessimistic about? They're right on track.
So I'm supposed to be optimistic that they're going to be 5-12? That's not the reason why you asked the question, Craig. You said you're asking the callers whether or not they're optimistic at 1-1 or pessimistic at 1-1. And I answered your question. Now you're saying I should be optimistic because they're in line to be 5-12?
Well, actually, technically, they're not. They're technically in line to be 8-9 or 9-8, but that's, you know, the math is the math. I guess, Gary, you cracked me up because you've been calling sporadically all offseason, and you basically are just a hater every single time, and I don't really know what it is that you want out of this franchise that's remotely realistic. That's what, like, genuinely humors me about your calls.
Craig, you can call me a hater all you want. I'm looking at this not through rose-colored glasses, okay? I'm calling based because I
No, you're actually you've actually it. Self-diagnosed here very well. You are looking at this through absurdly pessimistic colored glasses. I don't know what color pessimism is, but your inability to see any positivity in what is a long-term multi-year project is chef's kiss on the nose, perfect for a football fan who lives in and dies with every single game without a broader vision.
You're wrong, Craig, because I said positive things about the quarterback. Okay?
And what realistically did you expect to go well this year outside of that?
I called your show right after they signed these free agents, and I told you none of these guys moved the needle, and they're not moving the needle, okay? You jumped on my throat saying because I said that Dorrance Armstrong wasn't any better than Chase Young. Okay? I told you that. Okay? You jumped down my throat. You hung up on me. All right? The fact of the matter is maybe you are too rose-colored. Okay?
I don't think I'm rose-colored. I think I'm realistic. And by the way, I think Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner both played better on Sunday than they did in week one. And I think they'll continue to get better within this season. I think that's where we differ, Gary, as I can look at what is happening and say, yeah, it's not very good right now, but there are reasons to believe it could get better. And there's also potential that it doesn't. Like, we don't know. Where you are determined that currently the status of this team as is right now is how they will be indefinitely. And that I don't understand at all.
I never said that. I said they're going to be 5-12. You're putting words in my mouth. I said they're going to be 5-12. What do you think they're going to be?
I think they'll be slightly better than that. I probably think they win 6 or 7 games, and depending on how quickly they can turn certain parts of this around. They could even do better, but realistically, like 6 or 7 wins. But I also think that the idea that they can't improve within that construct, and that the things that need to get better on the current roster aren't going to improve within that construct. Like, I think that those things can all happen simultaneously. I'm just not that concerned with wins and losses in 2024 because they had to dig out of a hole, and you seem to not want to acknowledge how deep the hole is that they had to dig out of, and that it's impossible to fill that hole in one offseason because the best players in the league aren't available in free agency. You have to draft them and then let them develop. It's a multi-year project. So you're oh, well, they didn't move free agents to that move the needle. Or sign free agents that move the needle. No kidding. That's not how free agency works 98% of the time.
Oh, no, Craig. No, Craig, because you jumped down my throat the last time because you disagreed with me. And you also disagreed with me on that when I told you that people in the building were talking about moving Jamin Davis to Micah Parsons and rushing the passer. And you jumped down my throat. You can go back and listen, saying, who told you that? Who told you that? And I was right because I heard it on your station, other people's talk, people talking about it. So, only reason why I'm pointing that out is when you talk all the time, you're not always right. These are all opinions.
This is true.
You're asking your callers to ask for pessimistic. We were optimistic or pessimistic? And I'm giving you, I'm pessimistic. Okay? If you don't want anybody to say they're pessimistic, just say, hey, this is a day of optimism. I'm looking for optimism.
I'm not saying that, Gary. And also, I don't really understand why you feel the need to be incredibly confrontational about it when I'm simply asking for things and then pushing back saying, hey, can you explain this? Can you explain that? Like, it's just, the point is actually not optimistic or pessimistic, Gary. Gary, hold on.
You call us, you said, wait a minute.
I'm going to put Gary on hold since he can't seem to have a conversation where he lets me talk. And I have the ability to do that, which is fun. The point is actually not the optimism or the pessimism. As I am fond of saying, if you listen regularly, which Gary does, it's not about the graphic. It's not about the rankings. It's not about the word. It's about the conversation and talking the things out and having a good conversation about the team where we all maybe learn a little bit. And Gary's made some really good points in here. I'm not trying to say that Gary doesn't know anything. It's fun to needle Gary because he has certain buttons that apparently I can hit really well. But the point is to have the discussion and say, okay, what were our expectations? Well, are they meeting them? Okay, if we're meeting them, then is that optimistic, pessimistic? Is that, and by the way, I never actually said you have to call in and say optimistic or pessimistic, and it doesn't have to be black and white. It's a vibe check. I asked how you're feeling. It can be conflicted. JT in the last segment said, I'm conflicted. Here's the things I like. Here's the things I don't like. And Gary, what I don't understand is the need to just completely like pick a fight and lean into the full pessimism when what, especially if you are right and what you thought was going to happen on some level is, but also I don't understand the idea that what they are right now is permanently what they are or what they are for the rest of the season because it's week two and teams change throughout seasons.
Craig, am I back on?
You are back on. I give you the last word, then we got to go okay. Because we're out of segment
okay.
time.
All right, I appreciate it. But listen, the reason why you said that I'm calling in and I'm just a hater. You said that about me.
Yeah,
that's
I did.
That's not true. I call all the stations. Okay, I don't just listen to your show. I like your show, but I call in other stations.
Okay.
Okay. I am optimistic about the quarterback, and I've said that several times. I'm optimistic about the way that the off season went, okay? I'm concerned about the on-field, and that's why I called your show to say I am pessimistic. There are too many holes on this team, and if you're asking about pessimistic long-term beyond this season, that's a different discussion. But when I thought you were calling about this season.
It's an open-ended question, Gary, which is why I've spent the last 15 minutes trying to get you to clarify what it is the hell you're talking about, and now we've landed here. Gary, thanks for the call. It's always fun. Call back another time because we're out of time in this one. We'll take more of your calls on a Vibe Check Tuesday next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. It is a Vibe Check Tuesday. We're going to try to roll through these last couple of calls here a little quicker. It's always fun to spar with Gary in Upper Marlboro, so we took our fight a couple extra rounds there, but it was a good time. I enjoyed it. If you're listening on the radio and like, man, that felt intense. If you're watching on the YouTube stream, you saw me chuckling throughout like half that call. So it's fun to wind people up sometimes. Sometimes y'all do it to me. So it only seems fair. 301-230-0980. Let's get through these last. We got four calls on hold right now. I'm gonna Anthony, if we could close out the lines, let's try to get to these four, and then we'll get to Mitch Tischler coming up at 5 o'clock. All right, Rob, get us started. Sorry to make you wait there. What's your vibe on this Vibe Check Tuesday?
Okay, so I'm feeling pretty good, Craig. I think, you know, everybody's upset. We all want to be negative about this, that, the third. I'm feeling pretty good. When's the last time we had two games without a turnover? You know, the kicker is new, but when's the last time we kicked a bunch of field goals in a game and actually made them? You know, whatever. So we lost the Giants game, quote unquote, by their Graham Gano going out. It doesn't really matter. I think that the moves that they've made have been pretty decent. Noah Brown, you know, I do believe he's playing better than Jahan would have. But a big question that I said this to Anthony, but I want to ask your opinion on this.
Sure.
Should we have moved one of those middle guys during the trade deadline as opposed to someone like Sweat?
That's a good and somewhat complicated question. The simple answer is probably not. And the reason is not because you're not a better football team today with Montez Sweat playing the way he is versus John Allen and Daron Payne playing the way they are. Just very simply, the contract situation is more complicated than, and I think in the end of the day, like, one, Sweat was coming up on the end of his rookie deal. He was due a bunch of money. Paying him that at this stage of the rebuild limits you in other places. I think they're better off not having paid that money, where John and Daron had already been paid, and thus if you trade them last year, there's dead cap money that you have to take on, which I know is incredibly unsexy, like super businessy answer, yeah. But it's a huge factor in it. The thing is, though, and I hate to say this because like John Allen's given a lot to this city. He's from here, trading the hometown kid. Like, it's complicated. But from a financial standpoint, you can trade him this trade deadline, and there's no financial ramifications. There's no more dead money. There's no prorated signing bonus. There's no future anything you have to worry about. If he doesn't fit anymore in your long-term plans, you could flip him this time. Obviously, they still have to go find an edge, but I do think that they, like, that will be, that and corner seem to be shaping up through 2 weeks in a training camp. Their number one priority is going into the draft next year.
Right. So I do have one more question for you. You know, how do you feel about the offense not turning everything over or not turning the ball over yet?
Great.
I understand that. You know, exactly. We're not doing the things that we did before. And it's like small steps as opposed to giant leaps, right?
Yeah.
And the more and more cohesive as we get will be better. And not to take away from the last caller, but, you know, when's the last time we've seen something like this? When's the last time that we've actually had an opportunity to be optimistic during every game? We're at least in it.
I agree. Yeah, I think, Rob, I got to let you run because we got a couple more calls and we're running up against the clock. But, you know, I think what you're feeling, Rob, is competence. What you're feeling is an organization that actually has professionals in place and knows what they're doing and is building things the right way. And that doesn't guarantee anything. But doing it the other way guarantees nothing. And I do think you have to. And this ultimately, like, to go back to Gary's call, is my substantive disagreement with Gary is he's like, I'm pessimistic this year. They're not very good. And I'm like, there was no planet that they could have been good this year. Not with the way the salary cap works, not with the way the draft works, not with the way the free agency works. There is no planet that they could be good this year. They are going to be better than last year. And that is like when he talks about, oh, these guys don't move the needle. They do. They only move it so far, but they're not going to be a 4-win team this year. I would be stunned. Something terrible would have to happen for them to be a 4-win team. They deserve to be a 4-win team last year. That is moving the needle. And I do think this is also a team that showed growth from training camp to week one, showed growth from week one to week two. And I would expect, while it's not going to be linear, by the time week nine rolls around, they're a hell of a lot better of a football team than they are right now because they're still learning each other. Coaches learning their players learning their coaches, players learning each other. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Andre in Alexandria. Andre, what's your vibe on this Vibe Check Tuesday?
Well, I feel good about the offense. They're not where I want them to be, but I like the direction they're going in to keep it short because, you know, you're short on time. And I'm getting pretty sick and tired of Payne and Allen making excuses every single year. They've been here for years, and every year they're not dominant. They let the offensive team or linemen on the other teams dominate what they do instead of they dominate what the offensive linemen do. They're being controlled regardless who the coach, who the owners are, and who players around them. They always get taken out the game. They don't enforce their will or their talent on the offensive line that they're going against. And I'm pretty done with their excuses. If we could, trade both of them, get rid of both of them. That's where I'm at.
Andre, thanks for the call. I get why Andre is frustrated. I get defensively why you're not psyched about what this team did over the weekend. I do think that is an overreaction. I do think that they are probably playing better than people realize because people think that they're like the worst two defensive tackles in the league right now. And that's definitely not true. But they definitely need to also play better. Like, I do think that is an important point. I don't want it to come off as whether it's making excuses, whether it is, whatever other version of that you want to make it. Like, they got to be better. But I also understand some of the reasons why they're not better right now. And some of it is them not playing well and like they need to execute on a higher level. Some of this is they are not fully being set up to be great in the way that, you know, maybe a 2022 version of them, 2021, when these guys had monster years, that they were kind of built and set up structurally to play better. Right now, unfortunately, the back end coverage is so bad that they are being hung out to dry a little bit longer. They require more bodies and pass coverage. So some of the blitz schemes that they want to roll up, that could result in some more pressures and some more sacks. Some of the box counts that they want to run or they want to have in terms of bodies down by the line of scrimmage, like those aren't available because they need to have extra players back, aka two high safety looks instead of one. And what that means is, I know this is like super football nerdy and it's going to sound like excuses, but like this is the reality. Take it for what it is. If I'm a quarterback and I see a good look to run into and my double teams are set up perfectly because the other team is scared of, you know, my stud first round pick receiver hitting a 70 yarder, I'm going to tap my helmet, check to the run, and we're going to run into a great look. And that's what happened to them a lot last week. Is Daniel Jones looked up, saw, hey, we can double team Allen. We can double team Payne. Do those guys need to play better against double teams? Abso-freaking-lutely. Both things can be true at once. But man, that is a tough job. And so I have, to that level, some sympathy for those guys. But within that context, they need to play better. Okay, real quick, last but not least, Tion's with us to finish out Vibe Check Tuesday. Tion, I got like 30, 45 seconds for you. Sorry to keep it short, but Tischler's coming up at 5. Last word goes to you, though, my friend.
Okay, man, no problem. Thank you for having me. Right now, the vibe check for me is this is fantastic. I'm actually seeing the offense being built, a Commander's offense being built from the ground up. First thing assessment is I know that Jane Daniels floor is that he's going to be a good game manager. And we're seeing the offense grow around it. Now, what I want to see is if we start getting leads, are they going to release the defense and make them like the old Indianapolis defense? Since we can't cover anybody, I think later on in the season, we're going to become a more blitz-heavy defense when we have a lead. And I think it's going to be all pertinent on our offense getting us the lead. I want to see how that looks.
Tion, I think that's a great point, too. I appreciate the call, and hopefully we can get you a little more space to chat in the future. They have been in some bad time score situation deals. So do they have the opportunities later in the season to play differently because this offense can get up? Obviously, if they just finish in the red zone, right? Like, if you want to be pessimistic, red zone, terrible. Defense gives up a little too much. They got lucky and no kicker for the Giants. If you want to be optimistic about the game on Sunday, it's also really easy. They could have easily won like 35-18, right? They could have just as easily scored a bunch of those in the red zone as opposed to kicking 7 field goals. Even if they get half of those in the end zone. And on like half of those drives, they were in 3rd or 4th and 1 inside the 10-yard line, could have had a fresh set of downs, and they jumped off sides. Like, not even, hey, it's 3rd and 1 at the 1, and now you got 6 yards to score and one play to do it. No. They were like 3rd and 1 at the 3 and would have had 4 downs to score from the 2. and they couldn't stay on sides. I have to think that gets better. I have to think that gets coached up. And if it does, then what does the red zone offense look like? And also in training camp, there were some stretches where they were dominant in the red zone. So I think that there is the potential there, including, by the way, they just torched, I think it was Miami, in the joint practice. So it's not like they just did it to their own defense. So I think that's something to watch moving forward. Okay, Mitch Tischler joins us next. Thanks, everyone, calling in on the Vibe Check Tuesday. That was great. Tischler Tuesday next before the Take Command tape breakdown of Jaden Daniels at 5:30.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.